The Transfiguration of the Lord, Year A, August the 6th. Readings from the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verses 9 to 10, 13 to 14. Second reading from the second letter of Peter, chapter 1, verses 16 to 19. And the Gospel from Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 to 9. The first reading. From the book of Daniel. As I watched, thrones were set up, and the Ancient One took his throne. His clothing was snow bright, and the hair on his head as white as wool. His throne was flame of fire, with wheel of burning fire. A surging stream of fire flowed out from where he sat. Thousands upon thousands were ministering to him, and myriads upon myriads attended him. The court were convened, and the books were opened. As the vision during the night continued, I saw one like a son of man coming on the clouds of heaven. When he reached the Ancient One and was presented before him, he received dominion, glory, and kingship. Nations and peoples of every language serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not be taken away. His kingship shall not be destroyed. The second reading from the second letter of Peter. We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we make known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that unique declaration came to him from the majestic glory. This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard his voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. Moreover, we possess the prophetic message that is altogether reliable. You will do well to be attentive to it, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Gospel from Matthew. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a highly mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is well that we are here. If you wish, I will make three booths here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, lo, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were filled with awe. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and have no fear. When they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. Sharing of the reading. Theme: The History of Salvation Witnessed Before Christ. The people's faith in Christ is based on history, not on myth or imagination. This faith is based on many authoritative witnesses of history, which people can verify and their intellect can understand them. The reading of today's Transfiguration wants to emphasize this historical progress. In the first reading, the prophet Daniel, about 200 BC, was revealed by God to visions the appearance of the Son of Man after the reigns of four empires: Assyria, Media, Persia, and Greek. The Son of Man, though, had a man's appearance, but his origin is from heaven. He received his kingship from the Father, shall reign over all nations on earth, and his kingdom shall remain forever. In the Gospel, before Jesus went to Jerusalem to begin his passion, he had brought his three apostles, Peter, James, and John, to the mountain to show them his glory and God's will. They saw Moses and Elijah having a conversation with Jesus about what shall be happen in Jerusalem. Especially they heard the Father witness for his Son, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." In the second reading, Peter witnessed for Jesus' glory and power by reporting his experience of seeing what had happened on the mountain and by illustrating the prophets who witnessed for Christ in Scripture. Alleluia, the third reading. The Ancient One gave him dominion, glory, and kingship. First point, Daniel's vision of the Father, the Ancient One. The prophet reported this vision after his vision of the war for wild beasts. As I was, thrones were set up, and the Ancient One took his throne. His clothing was snow bright, and the hair on his head as white as wool. His throne was a flame of fire with wheels of burning fire. A surging stream of fire flowed out from where he sat. Thousands upon thousands were ministering to him, and myriads upon myriads attended him. The court were convened, and the books were opened. About the history, most commentaries agree the four wild beasts represent the four empires: Assyria, Media, Persia, and Greek. As Daniel explained for King Nebuchadnezzar about his dream, a stone which was hewn from a mountain without a hand being put to it struck it iron and tau feet, breaking them in pieces. See Daniel chapter 2, verse 34. It meant that after the reign of the four empires, it the Son of Man reign. God, the Ancient One, is the one who controls the history of the world. He has power over all kings of the world and people. He let a king have power to establish his empire, and he could wipe out that empire to establish a new reign. When he decided, nothing can change his will. The fact that a stone which was hewn from the mountain without a hand being put to it shows his power. Second point. Daniel's vision of the Son of Man and his mission from the Ancient One. Daniel reported, as the visions during the night continued, I saw one like a Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. When he reached the Ancient One and were presented before him. But the Son of Man coming on the cloud of heaven, it meant that his origin is from heaven, not from the world as the four wild beasts at the beginning of the chapter. At the four wild beasts represented for the four empires of the earth. The Son of Man represent for the kingdom of heaven. Second point. The Son of Man mission. When he reached the Ancient One and were presented before him, he received dominion, glory, and kingship. Nations and peoples of every language serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not be taken away. His kingship shall not be destroyed. The Son of Man shall be the king of all nations. Not a single nation shall not be under him. His everlasting dominion and kingdom implied he shall live forever, and no worldly power could overcome his power. The second reading. These words are as a lamp shining in a dark place. Peter wanted to show the faithful that what he spoke about Christ aren't myth or imagination, but are based on the foundation of the true witnesses, his personal experience, and the scripture. The first one. Peter's experience of Christ's transfiguration. Mark's passage of the transfiguration below confirmed what Peter said in this passage. We did not follow cleverly divine myths when we make known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we have been witnesses of his majesty. Peter is one of the three apostles who witnessed Christ's glorious transfiguration. Not only saw Christ's glory, but Peter also heard the Father witness for his Son as Peter did pride, for he received honor and glory from God the Father when that unique declaration came to him for the majestic glory. This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard his voice come from the heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. This is a very important witness for the apostle faith, because it helped them to put their complete trust and in Christ as the Son of God, especially in his passion, death, and glorious resurrection. Second, Peter's personal experience is confirmed by the prophet's words. Besides his personal experience, James and John witnessed it. Peter also had the scripture witness to the prophet's words. Peter declared, moreover, we possess the prophetic message that is altogether reliable. You will do well to be attentive to it, as to a lamp shining in the dark place, until day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. The first prophet we heard in today's reading is the prophet Daniel. Beside him, we also have many words from the other prophets, such as Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Amos, Micah, etc. talk about the Messiah. Peter paid a special attention to the scripture witness, Sirach, the Pentateuch, the prophets, and the Psalms, because the Jews believed in the book authority. In the sermon before people, see Acts chapter 3, verse 12 to 26, and the Sanhedrin, Acts chapter 4, verses 8 to 21, Peter also paid a special attention to the scripture authority. We talk about Christ's resurrection. If people sincerely study and search the scripture, they shall be enlightened to understand what are still dark in difficult passages, because the whole scripture was enlightened by the one Holy Spirit. The Gospel. This is my beloved Son, listen to him. Third point. Why did Jesus reveal his glory for his three disciples? To understand the reason, we need to understand this passage in its content and historical background. First, after 6 days, the transfiguration happened after 6 days. Peter proclaimed Christ's divinity at Caesarea Philippi and prevented him not to go to Jerusalem. Second, Jesus' coming, passion, and resurrection. There are important points which Christ wanted for his disciples to understand firmly. First, they must clearly understand who he is. This was shown when Peter, as the disciple's representative, proclaimed, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." Secondly, the way he redeemed people is through his passion, death, and resurrection. His disciples didn't firmly understand this point. That is why Peter prevented him to go to Jerusalem. As all the contemporary Jews, the disciples believed in a powerful Messiah who shall use his power to conquer foreign power and to govern all nations. They couldn't accept a suffering Messiah who must suffer and die on the cross to save people. Therefore, Jesus wanted to bring along his three disciples to the mountain so that they witness his relationship with the Father, his coming passion, which he must go to according it in God's plan, and his glorious resurrection after that. Third, the Moses and Elijah presence. Moses is the representative of the law, because God gave the Ten Commandments and many decrees to him. He is considered the foundation of the law, and today's events show that the law must be oriented to Christ for completion and perfection. Elijah is the representative of all the prophets. He is considered the most important prophet because of his preaching and power to perform miracles. Today's event also show all the prophetic books must be oriented to Christ to find the fulfillment of all the prophecy concerning the Messiah. 4. The content of their conversation. Based on the apostle question below, we can confirm that the content of Christ, Moses, and Elijah's conversation is about his passion, death, and resurrection. Luke's report clearly said The theme of the conversation is what's going to happen in Jerusalem. See Luke chapter 9, verses 30 to 31. Therefore, both the law and the prophets are witnessed for and found their fulfillment in Christ, especially in his coming passion and death. Second, the Father commands. This is the second time the Father witnessed for Christ, his beloved Son. The first time happened when Christ was baptized by John Baptist in the Jordan River. To listen to him is the most important command for Christ's disciples. To the disciples, God wanted them to listen to what Christ was revealing for them, although these things aren't what they want about the Messiah, but it's in God's plan of salvation. Application in life. Our faith is the result of God's revelation and the witnesses of many authoritative witnesses in history passed to us. It isn't easy for people to accept suffering and the cross, but to us, those who have faith, suffering and the cross are God's plan to save people.